Oh, welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am so encouraged to walk with you. If you missed that encouraging word we just had in the first hour about Jehoshaphat, you got to find out that God will fight your battles. And if you are a prodigal, if you have gone astray, if you have blown every opportunity, realize God's in love with you. If you come to your senses and you make things right with God and those that you sinned against, I'm telling you, wide open arms. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. Also joining me this morning in the extra hour is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Wasn't that an awesome word in the first hour?
Very good word. Very encouraging.
Also joining us as this morning is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Give a shout out to all of our VFN family listeners that are out there. We love to see what you're doing on the do and all the prayers that are going up and the answered prayers. It is so cool to watch Psalms 133 fulfilled. Seeing you loving each other, seeing you praying for each other, seeing God answer the prayers again and again and again and again. We're praying for you. You are listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning. Here we are, walking into the Extra Hour, floating on the revelation that came this morning in Pat's abiding time. If you want to be just like that, to have a personal abiding relationship with Jesus Christ, where you can hear an encouraging word not only just from VFN Radio and VFN TV, but you hear God's voice yourself. Mm-hmm. You can abide just like Pat did this morning. And if you want to be able to do that and you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you. It's iabide.org. Iabide.org. You know, what we're talking about in the beginning of the first hour is to learn to look away. You got to look away. Mm-hmm. I mean, when the news starts crescendoing and all the things are accurate, even good news, which is accurate, truthful news, is telling you, just like Jehoshaphat, you know, was getting the news that all these things are coming in, you got to look away and look to God. Mm-hmm. And not just look away in disgust, but just look away and remember God. Remember the Lord. And we talked about also in the first hour that we have to be willing to go through something if we want to see the ones that we've been praying for to come back. Because all these things that are feeding into the carnal, fleshly, sinful nature, when those things are cut off, you mm-hmm. know, it just, people can come to their senses.
And they will come back. They will come back.
There's nothing like, you know, craving pig food. That
I think I've come to the end of, I think this is over.
Right, right. And if you train them up, say it was somebody that was walking in your fellowship and was walking with God once, but they left God. They just walked mm-hmm. away. And they turned their back on God, which can happen and happens quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that I think Peter calls it, it's like a dog returning to its vomit.
Mm.
It's like a pig returning to its mud hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we're talking about, you know, the difference between sheep and pigs when it deals with mud and sin. And listen, if we're willing to go through this, if we brace ourselves and prepare and make sure that we don't have a heart of that religious elder brother,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and which I think is causing a lot of problems in the first place,
mm-hmm.
then we can be used by God to bring in a great harvest of souls, but also sons and daughters who have gone astray from God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're going to have scars and wounds and all that kind of stuff. You know, welcome to us. You know,
that's right.
Welcome to us. And so if you want to be encouraged, you want to be encouraged about God's viewpoint of, you know, this economic crisis, this famine situations and prodigals, you got to listen to the first hour. You're going to be really, really encouraged, I believe, when you listen to it. I do want to say that, you know, for everybody that was out there, you heard, you know, us talking about a new VFN church plant that's going on in Pittsburgh. We're so excited to announce to you, and you may have heard on yesterday's program as well, that you were praying and many people were praying for Steve Kolaszewski as God is leading him to Pittsburgh to share the love of God with the people of Pittsburgh, to plant VFN Pittsburgh Church as a pastor there. But also, God gave him divine, and you got to hear this if you haven't heard this yet, there's a segment, and we'll make it available to you maybe in related articles or something on the VFN Torch, and you can look down below if you're listening now, it may be listed there, that the story how it all came about. But he, just like God said, God gave him a, you know, word of knowledge, a revelation, a prophetic word, different things, and God led him all the way to where he is now, and then they just hired him up to be in part of the management team for an international company or a national company. And God provided everything. I mean, it wasn't even on his grid until he just sought the Lord like Jehoshaphat did about, and he wanted to obey God, and God just began to open all these doors and all that. You know, I'm telling him, hopefully we'll begin to share this maybe next week, but, you know, we got to rethink church. It's not the empty, hollow, deceptive philosophies that have got held you captive today. It is a relationship with Jesus Christ who does everything he says he can do on a daily basis. And that he loves you and has a plan for your life, and he wants to be the one that he is the one, but he wants you to know he's the one that's going to open doors for you. When we're seeing people that have rethunk church and begin to follow God and to listen to his voice and abide with him and go into the harvest field, you know, where everybody else, 23 million people, you heard on your vice presidential debate last night, they're talking about jobs, 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 jobs. Nothing about America, but anyway, jobs. And that's why it's 23 million people have lost their jobs. And it's really tragic. But at the same time, we're seeing the opposite of that for those who are walking with God in the context, not walking with God like American religion. I'm not talking about you're showing up at some huge airport looking, you swing left at the terminal to find your section with somebody in the blue coat. You don't even know his or her name, and they set you in a place by somebody you don't know, and you listen to somebody who don't know you, and if a terrorist was right beside you like it was in Houston, you wouldn't even know if they were there or not. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that are actually operating a simple pattern of the church. And how can you add to that?
Right.
And you can do that in big buildings or some other. I'm not talking about that, but I'm just saying this is what we're seeing. While people are losing their job, we're seeing people not only get jobs, but even get better jobs. We're seeing when people are losing their houses, we're seeing people in the midst when people are losing their houses, people getting houses given to them. When we see people that are losing their houses, the people that are walking in the revelation that we're telling you about, that God's selling their house within a 2 or 3 day, at least 7 day time period, puts it on the market, doesn't lower the price, sells it. The realtor, you know, a friend of mine, you know, Mark Downey, and he looks at it, he says, this is a miracle.
Right.
And he confirms it's a miracle that, you know, all of a sudden God sells that house and then gets another place where God, they're planting the church now. That's Brett and Sharon Holderbaum, you know, in Colorado. Well, they're there now. And when they get there, God gives them both a job with the same airline on the same day. It's not over. It's just over for Bell worship.
That's right.
You know, it's over for those who are worshiping the work of their hands. It's over for those who thought Jezebel and Ahab was a good form of leadership.
Right.
But it's not over for those who are following Jesus Christ. God's going to provide for you. And it's only over because anybody that would go, that just is somebody who just refuses to just turn to God. I mean, that's the reason why it would be over, because all you do is just repent and turn to God. But everything that they're reporting on the news that's happening to others, people that we're noticing that walk with God, abide with the Lord, as we always talk about at iabide.org, and you become the disciple of Jesus Christ, you fellowship with the family of God, and you go into the harvest field to advance his kingdom, we're seeing God just blow doors wide open. We're seeing opportunities come all over. It's amazing what happens. God is still in control, and religion hates it, and religion is refusing to let go of control. But let me tell you something. What's about to happen, they're going to have to let go. You know, God can handle his church.
Right.
You know, God can handle his church. There is a form of government. It's called family government. I mean, you look at a family. You look at a family. A family doesn't have, like, little signs outside their doors, you know, father. You go down the hallway and it says son. And then you go down the hallway, it says daughter. And then as another one says, you know, mother. I mean, you don't have signs on the doors, but you know what? Those children walk in that house and they know there's a structure there, hopefully. They know that there's a natural, if it's functioning right, that there's family government.
Right.
And they know it's there. If it's you know, godly functioning, they really know it's there. And so it's not like you're just throwing out control, manipulation, and politics, but you're not throwing out government, because there's a government in God. This is a battle between who's going to be our God, you know, and that determines by who are we going to turn to government like everybody else, or are we going to turn to God's form of government?
Right.
And you got to watch SOS, A Tale of Two Kings, and VFN TV. You need to understand that's the question that's being placed before us right now, called SOS. And the SOS stands for, it's either going to be Samuel or it's going to be Saul, but you can't have them both. And it's a tale between two kings. We'll be right back.
I want to talk to you just for a quick moment here. You may be at the end of your religious road. You may have done everything religious that you could think of. I mean, you may have sung in choirs. You may have had perfect, quote, church attendance, unquote. You may have got real close to those who are in ministry. You may have done all these things, but yet you're empty. You've found yourself, you know, seeking and running after what you perceive to be right, but you're running after things, man. And not God. Listen, that's a seek that God's put inside of you. That's a seek that God's put inside of you. He's put that inside of you. And what it is, you were seeking after him in the wrong places. Listen, he is after you. And the fact that you've done that means you're after him. But you just got to get on the right road. You just got to get off the religious road and get on the relationship road. You got to meet God. The whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. And God loves you. God has a plan for your life, but you've got to meet him. You meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus made a way for you to be in relationship with the creator of the universe. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. It's about a joyful walk in the Lord. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. There is nothing, I meant nothing, Pat, worse than man's religion.
Yeah.
You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk to you.
Right.
You know, and people want this, but sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, mm-hmm. iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can write your own devotional. Listen, just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are just so, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, sixth number. It's like, oh, man. They have 3 8s or zeros in their number. I was like, oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You love those, like, 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know? Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe, and you can have access to everything. And of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things that are going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, it's very cool.
You just text VFNTV to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. You know, I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together, and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
mm-hmm.
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily, and we finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death, and we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once.
Mm.
Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 900, one-sixth of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be mm-hmm. a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me to encourage you in the Extra Hour is John and Pat. You know, we were just talking about, you know, being prepared, and it's amazing. We had a wonderful time talking during our break about, you know, we always talk about Pat having Fritos and all. And Donna went to the store and bought all these groceries. That was amazing. You know, all these different things that we have
amazing
in stores.
Amazing. Just keeps happening.
I know. I mean, it's just like bag after bag of different things, you know, and you just walk around looking at these bags, and it's like, we're just so blessed.
Mm.
And but I just want to let you know, she bought a bag of Fritos.
Mm. Uh-oh.
So I started the Frito diet last night. Oh,
well, these aren't regular Fritos now. These are the scoops.
Uh-oh. Scoops. Take those back.
The big ones.
These are the big, they're called scoops. Well, yeah, they're scoops. And
keep all kinds of stuff up.
Yeah. And they were good. It was like a whole meal and a cup of grease. I mean, you can taste the grease.
You better put them in his combination, though. You got to put them in Tracy's chili, and then you got to put them in them Fritos, and then you got a combination going there.
Tracy can make these baked beans. Oh, my.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Those baked beans are so, so good.
You know how Tyler had to make those?
Oh, come on now.
I promise.
Pride comes before a fall. She does it different because she touches it. I mean, she does it different. She does it different.
Come on, he's trying to bring witnesses on. Listen,
no witnesses.
But it's because Tracy does it. It's why it tastes good.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm sure you've tried, but hers is. I've had hers.
I know her chili slamming.
It's good.
It's good. It's good.
Make you want to slap your mama.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. For those who aren't in the southern realm, that's a positive term that Pat uses. But yeah, I mean, she does. I mean, you've had them, right? You had them?
I think so. Once
he's,
or twice.
He's fighting to keep from taking credit. My goodness. She slaved over the stove and cooked them things. That was her, man. That was good. That was good. He's like, no, but I gave her the recipe, but she put it together. She made it happen. And bacon and barbecue. And I'm serious. I mean, it's like a meal. It's actually a meal because it's got meat and sausage.
A meal or a meal? What is that?
It has sausage in it. It had a cow in it. I mean, it had everything. No, it was just, I'm serious. I'm really serious. That Tracy makes better baked beans than Pat. Oh, moving on.
Can you pick him off the ground?
How did you know?
I heard the thump.
Yeah, it's deliverance. It's deliverance. It's deliverance.
Okay.
And I want to mention something because you see today people protesting, saying that we will not comply. We will not comply. And people go, oh, what's wrong with them? What are they doing? They just need to conform. They need to line up with everyone else. If they would just move with the crowd, things will be much better. And in some cases, if the crowd's going in the right direction, it's correct. But did you know that we, as the church, are called to be nonconformists? We're called to be nonconformists.
Right.
But it seems like everywhere you look, things that you're seeing, things that you're hearing be taught, it's just like, it's all these ways how to conform. How to be like the world. Mm-hmm. How to integrate with the world. How to integrate the world into you. But Paul was writing to the church in Rome, and you can read it in his 12th chapter in his letter. That's the 12th chapter. And he says, he's talking to us, the church, in verse 1 and verse 2. He says, I urge you, brothers. And what's he talking to? He's talking to us. He says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, thank God for his mercy, which means not getting what we deserve when we don't do it well, but we're trying to do it.
That's right.
I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. If you look at the word sacrifice in the Greek, the word victim is what you find. You find victim. Mm-hmm. And so somebody says, well, I just feel like a victim. You know, I just go serve God. I do what's right. And people take advantage of me. It's like, oh, my goodness, you're doing it. You're moving in your call to suffer for doing good.
That's right.
To this you were called, right? Mm-hmm. So Peter said.
That's right.
And he says, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, which means separating yourself from that which separates you from God, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your spiritual act of worship. So taking our bodies and doing what God says with our bodies is a form of worship, or is worship to God. Mm-hmm. This is our spiritual act of worship is not a song. It's you obeying the words in that song. You know, it's not just reading the word. It's actually doing what the word says. And then he goes on, it says this, and this is where he tells us not to be conform, to be nonconformist. He says, in verse 2, he says, do not conform. Do not conform. Mm-hmm. Think about it. I will not comply. Mm-hmm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing before the fiery furnace, bow down before this idol. We will not comply. We will not conform. Yes, everybody's bowing down, Nebuchadnezzar, but we're not going to bow down. We're not going to do it. He says, do not conform any longer, which means we were at one time, but now that we found God and we're being discipled and learning his ways, we repented from what we used to do, turning to the ways of God. Any longer, we're not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Do not conform any longer to the patterns, this culture, this way of doing things, the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word mind in the Greek is soul, which is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. I think I want to feel. I think I want to feel. I think I want to feel. People get up in the morning and they go, you know what? I think I want, I feel.
Yeah.
All day long, I think, I want, oh, and I feel. And it's like all day long. They're driven by their souls. Mm. But we're supposed to just take our soul and transform it and have it to submit to the ways of God. And that is our form of sacrifice. Mm-hmm. We say, I'm not going to comply anymore to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your soul or your mind. He says, then you'll be able to test and know what God's will is, his good and his pleasing and perfect will. Listen, the church, we're supposed to be separate. We're supposed to be separate from the world. No, we're not supposed to be hid out somewhere in some foreign whatever, but we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You should be able to look at the church and say, they're not like the other. There's something about them that's different. I mean, they're not ridiculing me. They're not condemning me. But when they're around, they're just not like everybody else. They're different. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody else says, hey, let's just do this because the world always does this. And all of a sudden you go, I'm not going to participate in that. That's called being a nonconformist.
Right.
Not conforming. And so you look at the world and it's like, you look at television and you look at the church and it's like, which one's where? Which one's, what's happening? Do you get your scripts for what you tell God's people from the scripts of writers in a back room who write a television show? What are you doing? Why would you do that? We're called to be nonconformists. Listen, it ain't working anyway. I mean, if what you're doing right now, is it changing your life? Is it changing their life? I mean, we have ministers that are partnering with the rebellion that's in the heart of children while parents are trying to raise their children, and the parents are literally at war with a person who calls himself a minister who's dividing their child from their parent, agreeing with their sin. We're supposed to be nonconformists. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we just sit here and watch junk all day long in our mind, that's what we're going to become. Whatever you see is what you're going to become. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing is a media-driven church that they watch media and they actually become what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And you start thinking it's normal when it's not normal.
Right.
It's important to check yourself. You know, and realize, even though you think it's normal, it might not be normal. And if you find out it's not normal, it's what God wants. You go, listen, God, I'm sorry. It's not normal.
That's right.
But right here, you got to see this, man. This is, I'm going to make this available to you on the VFN Torch. You can get to it at VFNTV.com. But you have these churches, these gatherings. And they call themselves their ministering, and how they're going to get the attention of people in their church is they're going to take, they're taking peanut butter in front of all these teenagers and all these kids, and they're taking this peanut butter and they wipe it in a bare armpit man. And then he takes the peanut. This is like what are you, this is not, well, this may be some reality show somewhere, but this is not the church.
Uh-uh.
And you're not winning their kids over by acting like some. And then he takes the peanut butter. He takes two slices of bread, or one of them takes two slices of bread, scrapes it off the person's armpit, makes a sandwich with it, and eats it in front of the kids in the church. In the church, look. You got to see this.
What you do is you spread it. You spit. Oh.
You understand? He's wiping peanut butter in the armpit in front of all these kids on a gathering of believers, Christians,
mm-hmm.
and you're hearing them react. You're hearing the kids react and the young people react of him. He's lifting his arm up and they're wiping peanut butter in his armpit. It's like, what? It doesn't even go on a grid. Mm-hmm. But the thing about it grows, it goes on a grid of perversion is what it goes on in regards mm-hmm. to this. But look at this.
All around the hair, right?
He's taking this stuff and he's rubbing. Now he's closing, pulling his arm down and he's rubbing the peanut butter in his arm, the person who got it put on him. I mean, listen to this thing.
Look at this.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
shit. Nasty.
Okay, I think I'm going to vomit. Yeah. Right there. A little bit more there.
That's disgusting.
Great. Okay. All right. Thank you. Now.
So now you also weigh the guy that was sitting here doing this in front of all these kids. The parents sit there. Think about it. You're sending your kid.
You think your kid is sitting there getting taught the word of God.
Right, exactly. And now what's happening to him, this is what's happening, you know, to your cut.
Mm-hmm.
Your teenager.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
who desperately needs God.
Yeah. You know, and this is what's happening. And so he walks away. Now this guy has, there's two guys. This one guy just rubbed peanut butter in his armpit, and the other person, the other guy's got it in his armpit.
Right.
And listen up.
Put this on the other pit. Yeah, you're going to put that on every pit at least 18 times a day. And then
18 times.
That might take care of your odor.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Doc.
Yeah. What time is it?
It's about 12:30. What?
Oh, great. Could you have a seat, please? Could you have one more seat?
Goodness. He just sat there, took his hand, the one who put the peanut butter there, the guy lifted his arm up, the man scrapes the peanut butter. This is in what they call the church. Scrapes it out of his armpit and then sticks it in his mouth.
Mm. Wow.
I'm telling you, listen, I know you're seeing it on TV, but it's not supposed to happen in the context of the gathering of the church.
Mm.
We got to learn how to be separate. We're supposed to be nonconformists. Yeah, you might be seeing this at some, I guess you're seeing it in some television show or something, I would guess. And then, you know, but don't imitate that. Don't imitate that. And this is not, you're not winning. It's just disgusting. One thing that encourages me here in front of these hundreds of young people is this adult. Look at this one adult. He gets up and he's literally repulsed and he walks away. First of all, why did you let it happen in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Secondly, I'm glad somebody was repulsed to what was going on right there. This is not normal. This is not the way things are supposed to be. We're supposed to be nonconformists. We have to find out. Listen, somebody says, well, you know, church is boring. Well, first of all, there's two definitions of that. One is what you think is the church is not the church. And mm-hmm. yeah, of course it's boring. It's religion.
Right.
The
right.
other is it's boring to you because you're not a believer.
Hello?
It doesn't make sense right. to you. You're blinded to what's going on. It's foolishness to you because you don't believe.
Mm-hmm.
But don't sit there and turn the church into an unbelieving behavior because you have an unbeliever saying they're bored with it.
Right.
Help them get born again. Or quit forcing them to fellowship with believers when they're not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
This is what turns into.
Whatever you use to bring them in is what you're going to have to use to keep them. And if you're trying to entertain their flesh and they don't even know God, I mean, what are we doing here? You know, it's mm-hmm. like, it's something that I say often is, you know, has the church gone Hollywood? It's like you can't use television programs or movies and think that it's all about entertaining young people.
Mm-hmm.
What our young people need more than anything is God. In this time, what they're facing and what is coming in this country and what they have to deal with, they have to deal with more things in their generation right now, this present generation, than any adult probably has ever had to live with in their lifetime. But, and you're going to spend that 45 minutes spreading peanut butter.
But they should not have done. They should not have had that encounter with a minister.
Mm-hmm.
That should not have happened with somebody who's supposedly supposed to lead them in the things of God, a servant of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Right.
you know, shouldn't leave them in that. And then they not only do they have that, and we're going to talk about this. This is just one part of what's going on. We try to get in. Now they're taking, in addition to that, this is just some of the things that are going on.
Mm.
And this is supposedly the church coming together. Remember, do you read the Bible again? You know, 19% is the only ones that read the Bible according to George Barna anyway.
Right.
Only 3% are concerned about what it says in regards to themselves on the context of God's map and his word. But just you'll find out that this is all behaviors that come from carnality and flesh. It's like giving ourselves over to our flesh. We're looking for things that make our flesh feel good. You know, that's entertaining to me, my flesh, and all this different stuff. Like, but we're supposed to deny ourselves, pick up a cross, and follow the Lord. It's not that we don't have a good time, but good time is spelled differently in God.
That's right.
It's not about humiliating the human being. It's not about doing perverse things. It's about a holiness and a set apartness to God. But now they're even taking... And it's like, what are you, I don't understand. Is there nothing else you could do? And somebody says, well, you know, they were bored. You know, I tried teaching them and they got bored. So now what some of them are doing, they're taking baby diapers, and they're putting chocolate pudding in the diapers, and they're imitating the eating of feces. And they're having a contest that who can eat the feces, what looks like feces in this diaper the fastest.
Right.
It's foolishness.
Well, it's actually Baal worship. Feces has to do with, all this stuff has to do with carnality. It has to do that, you know, part of feces was part of the Baal worship that they would use. And so it's like we're so blinded to what's going on that all this stuff, you know, Baal's prophets, when you look at them, they cut themselves. They did all these different things we're seeing manifested in our culture, what's happening. But look what they're getting in the church. I'm gonna look. Look at this. You're looking at children set up across a stage, in a gathering, in a camp where you're sending your kids. Like, oh, I hope that Susie goes to the camp and she finds God. You know, we really want Susie to be saved. We want our daughter to be saved. We want our son to be saved. Let's just send them to the Christian camp.
Mm.
Let's send them to the Christian camp. And now, I mean, you're looking at this video right here. Now you have a man in a suit while you have children walking back and forth. And you would think outside of them eating this poop in a diaper that it looks like a minister walking across the stage. But the problem is you have all these kids now covered with a face that looks like feces on their face eating from a baby's diaper and seeing that as normal. But this is happening in the church. This is happening. And somebody says, oh, that's boring. One or two things that's going on. One is you think you're in the church and you're not. Second thing is you're not a believer. And the message of the cross is foolishness to you. And you're hanging around for the benefits. But the reason why it's boring for you is because you don't know Jesus. But if you know Jesus, you don't need to bungee jump no more. If you obey God, you live on the edge of excitement.
That's right.
You see, faith is about believing God for big things, and it's not what is this? What is this? But you know, you have to understand it. I'm talking about we're going all the way with this and understanding that. That you have gatherings where the church is coming together, and you can't tell the American flag away from the Christian cross. You know, which one's which? Which did all of a sudden Christianity conform to America, or did America conform to Christianity, or why is the flag in the place of worship? And I understand. I'm not saying that. I'm glad to be an American and all that, but I understand that the flag came because of Christians going after God, not going after a country. You had the pilgrims coming to America. They wanted a freedom. They broke loose from the king so they could worship God, not so they could have a country of their own. They had to have a country. It was a byproduct of people. They had to have a country. And what came later on after Christians worship God freely was a country and a constitution that allowed them to worship God freely. But don't put the flag over the cross. You're not going to have the flag.
Mm.
And you're hearing things like, you know, this party's God's party. What do you, that's you've conformed to the patterns of this culture. That's not, you know, what are we doing? We're looking, we look like the world. We act like the world. We're just, Paul says, he says, listen, what's wrong with you guys? Well, you're acting like the world. You're shaming the Lord and how you're acting between each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking your brother to court. Why not be wrong? Why not somebody take advantage of you? Mm-hmm. Find somebody that's low amongst you and have them judge over you. I'm saying this to your shame. What is going on with you?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what's going on. You're gathering them by their flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You're preaching to them a carnal message, and you're wearing yourself out coming up with new carnal ideas.
Mm.
So you turn to the thing that they turn to, which is media, to relate to them instead of turn to God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I preach the gospel, then I'll get fired because they told me my job as a youth minister is to keep these kids entertained.
That's right. Babysit them.
Because if their kids get upset, then this man who gives money to this organization will be gone.
Wow.
It's like we can't worship God together because we can't stand each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to a neurologist, podiatrist, you know, a neurosurgeon, you go to a woman's ministry, a men's ministry, a children's ministry, and you divide the whole thing up because they can't stand to be together.
Mm.
And you wonder what's going on. And the closest, nicest thing they said to each other was something they posted back and forth on their Facebook when they have no relationship at all.
Right.
Mm. Zero, right.
But they want to give the impression that they have one. To me, freaky.
Mm.
Very.
But to the world, it'll do.
All right.
The image does. What have we done? We've conformed. What? You know, I just want to get along with God or the world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship with the world is an enemy of God. Listen, the reason why church ain't making sense to you, because it ain't making sense to God. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Church is about Jesus Christ. It's about him and him only in the advancement of his kingdom. It's about a God who loves you so much that he gave his life for you, that you would leave your life of sin. It's about giving wholeheartedly every part of you to him. And even though you fell and you make a mistake, you love him and you want to make it right. And it has nothing to do with you and what you want and all your carnal ideas. And listen, sir, and your big jar of peanut butter and your Pampers and your pudding, you need to leave. You need to repent.
I know that's
right. I mean, I think it's a travesty. You need to start preaching holiness. You need to say, you know, I want to be holy myself. Make the decision. Say, you know, God, I'm going to walk. And you'll be really surprised, by the way, if you hadn't been to the ramp. We carry in Wheaton's ministry, you'll be surprised. Kids want holiness. They want the opposite of that.
That's right.
They want somebody to be honest with them. Now, every kid's not. Every adult's not. But you're not trying to get everybody in the world. You're just trying to find out who wants God. And whoever wants him, you want to be able to baptize them and lead them in the ways of God and launch them in the purposes of God. If you quit trying to get everybody and just look for the ones that want him, then it won't be as hard.
That's right. Looking for a crowd.
You're going to have to leave that thing they call a church that's living to satisfy, you know, the Jezebelic stronghold in the thing that if you don't make so-and-so happy, it ain't going to work, you know, or we're going to lose this or lose that. Jezebel controls you by what she gives you.
Right.
You may have to do that. But you know what? It's better to be faithful with one than be a fool with 100.
Hmm.
You're going to have to answer for that. You cannot blame, by the way. Let me tell you something, young minister. You're not going to be able to blame standing before the throne of God and blame what you did before the throne of God on some board of directors,
mm-mm,
on, quote, some senior pastor, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to stand alone for that. Now, we all make mistakes, and we all err, and we're not perfect, but you can stop that. Mm-hmm. And if you get fired because you do what's right, celebrate that. This is what we're called to do. But you know what they're going to find out? They're going to find out what, you know, what we found out. I remember when we were part of the outpouring at Brownsville Revival, that it started with the young people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It started with the children. And they began to wail for the adults, and they began to get visions of hell and all that was going on. They began to cry out and fall under the power of God. And it began with the children, and the children, God used the children to usher in something so powerful, so filled with the love of God, that it swept across the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell young people the truth, you're going to find out the truth mm-hmm. about them.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out the ones that look you square in the eye and say, I don't want a part of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also find other ones that say, oh my goodness. And the purity and the desire of a young person who goes after God, there's nothing like it.
Right.
But we can't wrap the cross and the flag while we're thinking, why? Is the Japanese flag, do we wrap that around the flag? Or how about the German flag? And how about the Venezuelan flag? How about that? You know, how about, hey, Israel's flag. I mean, if you're going to wrap any flag around the cross, wouldn't you wrap? Come on, what are you doing? Now, if you folded the flag up and you placed it at the foot of the cross, that is what will save this nation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll quit conforming to this world and try and have everything morph to what we want it to be and lay all of our lives, all of our dreams, all of what we went the wrong way with at the foot of the cross, including America.
Mm.
The God just may forgive our sins, heal our land, and help us keep our nation. We have been given proof positive, a constitution that allows us to be nonconformist. It allows us right now. I don't know how much longer we have it, but it says in the First Amendment, you do not have to conform.
Right.
Mm.
There's no excuse. And listen, we're going to have to answer for this because there's no excuse in America. We did not have to conform. During this 250 years, we didn't have to conform. We could stand up and just say what we feel God is leading us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do it now. We don't have to conform. You know, I'm looking at clothes and I'm thinking, man, I like that shirt. And that shirt is like, oh, it's so nice. And I've seen a lot of believers wearing this particular brand of clothes. It's kind of like artistic and all these different designs to it, and it just looked really sharp. And you know, and it's called South Pole, and I thought, well, that's kind of nice. And I found one when I was in Tennessee, and I thought I'd put that thing on, and all of a sudden I think I'm gonna get me some more of those shirts. So I was gonna order them, and I took the shirt and looked at the tag for the first time. Well, Donna was looking at the shirt, my wife, she's looking at it, and she says, something's not right with that shirt. I'm like, oh, you're just messing it. And she's just sensing in her spirit something wasn't right. And when I looked at my shirt and pulled the tag off, or looked at the tag, it's made from a company called Wicked Fashions. Two guys out of Queens, New York. Wicked Fashions. Make South Pole. And so you see the South Pole jeans and the South Pole shirts and the South Pole jackets. The tag on the back, it's Wicked Fashions. I don't care if it's the prettiest thing in the world, and that's what you're seduced by. If you're seduced by something, it's something that's really attractive to you. If it's from wickedness, if it says Wicked Fashions, I mean, create your own brand and call it Holy Fashions.
Right.
But don't wear Wicked Fashions. And it's like we're conforming to the patterns of this world. I'm like, took the thing off? I don't think so. And I laid it with shock and thinking how many people that call themselves believers and youth pastors and ministers are wearing Wicked Fashions.
And it doesn't faze them.
But the thing is, we become like the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if we humble ourselves, if we pray, listen, sin is sin. Wrong is wrong and right is right. And we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. And somebody might be just a little bit ahead of you on the path of repentance, but everybody's taking the same road.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Understand this. Don't base the truth that you preach and adjust it based off people's responses. Don't change your message. Change your audience, including if you're at a 5,000 member gathering place and nobody wants to hear the truth about Jesus. You finish preaching it, let them fire you, put your transition package in, and you go find the people who will. You have not been called to an occupation. We've been called to minister the truth of God. Every one of us have been called to minister the truth of God. This is not about your J-O-B. Go get you one of those. Mm-hmm. This is about sharing the truth of God to mankind, preaching the kingdom of God. And then the M would come. We are called to be nonconformists.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.